It's November 25th, year 2007. It's the last Sunday after Pentecost, which this year is the 26th Sunday after Pentecost. Now, we're going to start out by just giving you people out there the Advent schedule that's coming up. But now we're getting ready to come up to our fasting, okay? And so now we have to get our minds ready for fasting for Advent and penitential works to prepare for Christmas. And what we do every year, and I tell this to the people now so they can hear this, the last 9 days of November, we pray the novena to the poor souls to help the poor souls in purgatory, our brothers, so they can be granted expiation and repose. That's the first reason. And then we ask our suffering brothers to pray for us. They cannot earn merit for themselves, but they can pray for us. And we ask them to pray for us so that we may make a good Advent, a penitential Advent, so that when Christmas comes, we have another feasting period of time, and we would be worthy of enjoying that. So, as I always say, Catholics feast and they fast. We do both. We're not Puritans. We feast and then we fast. And we're not liberals neither, who don't fast at all. So now, coming up for this Advent, the Church has always taught it's just like the same thing as Lent. It's penitential. A lot of people think when Advent comes, they're already celebrating Christmas. They're out there feasting for the whole month. And no, it's penitential. Up until the day of Christmas Eve, and I think it ends at Christmas Eve at 12 o'clock. And then on Christmas Day, festival time starts again. So now, when we come up into Advent, as I tell you, we have one meal a day. Look, all the early, this is what the Church did. I mean, that's how we make saints. That's how we become good Catholics. If we don't go back to what made good Catholics and saints, we're going to all go to hell. I tell all of us brothers out there, and anybody who wants to become Catholic, if you want to save your soul, you've got to pray, which is the first thing. That's the first pillar. The second pillar is mortification of your flesh. The third pillar is learning your faith, okay? And then giving alms and all the other spiritual and corporal works of mercy are also included. But I will tell you, the first three things for a Catholic, or you're damned, is prayer, mortification, and learning your faith. If you're not doing all three of those things in the proper measure, you'll go to hell. You ain't going to save your soul, period. So you better get yourself up and start doing some types of mortification, especially during the times when the Church proscribes it. What happens with some people is they go so far with, let's say, you go out of the church, you can fall out of the church on the right or the left-hand side. I spoke about this before, about the rules. God has given us good things. Our Lord Jesus Christ drank wine. Wine is not necessary for survival, but he drank it. He feasted, and he fasted. So now, I'm telling the brothers here, let's get ready for this Advent. Let's make ourselves a good Advent. Now, this week, we thank God that he's given us this time to feast. And I tell all you children out there, too, when you're also that during Advent, you give up certain things that you like. Now, we always give up during our fasting periods. We give up meat. We don't eat meat. And we don't drink any alcohol during the week, just on Sundays. How are we any different from humans in the past? It's the same makeup. We have to start getting tough in ourselves. We have to get ourselves away from the luxuries of this United States of America, this pagan harlot that's got everybody into a luxurious lifestyle and has made them soft and weak. So, other types of mortification we spoke about many times. When you're going into a shower, turn the whole cold water on for about a minute or two and let the cold, ice-cold water hit you for a while. You know, when you're walking, walk barefoot a couple times during the week, you know, where it's going to be painful. Whip yourself with a rope. That's called the discipline. You know, you whip yourself with a rope. When it's cold out in the winter and you're taking about a 15 or 20-minute walk, take your coat off and just wear a shirt, a bare shirt, a thin shirt, and walk out there for 15 minutes and pray the rosary, and you're going to come in like this, but you've done penance, you see? There's a lot of ways you can do penance. And the summertime, when it's real hot, I'm putting an extra hot thing under you and walk in sweat. Oh, there's a lot of little ways you can do penance. Mortification. But I'm telling you, if you don't do it, you're damned. And I'm telling, that's why I tell people even. Well, now everybody has different statures, so nobody has to always be the same way. Some people are naturally born big bone and bigger. But even in your case, moderate yourself. So that means during Lent, you're going to be losing weight, not gaining weight. And you don't ever want to get to the point where it becomes so bad where it ruins your health. First of all, the fasting is spiritual, so it lifts up your soul, but it's also physical. It helps your health even, so there's a lot of benefits to that. So I want everybody in here just to prepare themselves for that. And in vain of that, we're talking about fasting. I had a great commentary on chapter 6, verse 17, I think it is. Yeah, and we're going to read this great comment on the necessity of fasting. You see, Jesus says there's going to be a time for fasting and a time for not. I'm telling everybody out there now that Advent is a time for fasting. Now, we're going to read about how important it is for us to fast. The 40 days fast, my dear brethren, is not an observance peculiar to ourselves. It is kept by all who unite with us in the profession of the same faith. Nor is it without reason that the fast of Christ should be an observance common to all Christians, all Catholics. What is more reasonable than that the different members should follow the example of the head? If we have been made partakers with him of good, why not also of evil? And evil means suffering. Sometimes they'll use evil in here. Is it when God punishes you, he's going to bring an evil upon you, or suffering and doing fasting. It is generous to exempt ourselves from everything that is painful and wish to partake with him in all that is agreeable. With such dispositions, we are members unworthy of such a head. Is it much for us to fast with Christ, who expect to sit at the table of his Father with him? Is it much for the members to suffer with the head when we expect to be made one day partakers with him in glory? Like I said, if you want to be in glory with me, you must suffer with me to come to glory. Happy the man who shall imitate such a master. He shall accompany him wherever he shall go. Wherefore, my dear brethren, if the taste only has caused us to offend God, let the taste only fast, and it will be enough. But if the other members also have sinned, let them also fast. Let the eye fast, if it has been the cause of sin to the soul. Let the ear fast, the tongue and the hand and the soul itself. Let the eye fast from beholding objects which are only calculated to excite curiosity and vanity, that being now humbled, it may be restrained to repentance, which before wandered in guilt. Let the ear fast from listening to idle stories. Let the tongue fast from detraction and murmuring, from unprofitable and sacrilegious discourse, sometimes also out of respect to holy silence, from speaking what appears necessary and profitable. Even with good things, you want to go extra 10 yards, refrain from speaking and have silence even if you wanted to speak good things. And we're talking about from the ear. We love good music and we listen to it, but in times of penance, you give it up. A lot of the monks, Paul the Hermit, when he out there, he didn't have none of that. Because all that could be seduction in a way, too, because how many heretics sing a nice Gregorian chant? Oh, very good. They're all heretics. Listen to them today in the traditional movement. They're all heretics outside the church. And that chant gives them a false impression that because, boy, that sounds so good, they must be in the state of grace. That means Pavarotti was in the state of grace when he sang a beautiful Ave Maria. And that man's damned in hell. He died outside the church as a heretic, and he was in a second marriage, and at his funeral, his so-called second wife was there, who wasn't his wife. And all these Norvus Ordo bishops were there. So even good things could be deceptive. We have to watch out for that. If a person does a good thing, it is good. We don't condemn that. We do love Gregorian chant. We love classical. We listen to it. But mortify yourself from it every now and then. I give myself extra mortifications. This is a story maybe I never told anybody, but when I was first converting, I went back to the Norvus Ordo Church to try to find where the faith is and all that. I was staying in the cathedral in Newark, Sacred Heart Cathedral in Newark, for 6 months longer than I should have stayed in there because I was always already totally frustrated with the heresies from that Archbishop McCarrick. He was the Archbishop then, and Bishop McDonald was there, and Bishop Saltarelli. I was so sick and tired of the heresies. It was driving me up there, the women all over the... I said, I can't take this, Lord. This has gotten worse than when I left the church. But I stayed there 6 months longer because a guy, David Fedor, was the organist, Hungarian guy, and he played a great organ. It was beautiful. So what was I doing? What was that all about? Is that organ music more important than the faith? And after I caught myself, and I said, what are you doing in here? Get out of here. So I mortified myself even now that I love good music, and I'm not telling anybody against it. We do listen to good music, but I'm making a point here that you can, that all those things could be seductive if they're being done by people who are heretics or not in a state of grace, and it lends you to believe that these people have to be holy. So that's why they're saying, even in good things, every now and then, shut your ears off from them, even good things. Even in good things that you can look at that are really beautiful, shut your eyes off from them. During your fast, but then when it's time to feast in normal time, yes, look at good things and listen to good music. There's nothing wrong with that. So I don't want to give the people the wrong impression. We do. That's the other side. You know, the extreme side. Well, you do have to look at good things, and you do have to listen to good music at times. I'll give you another example of how it's just as seductive that is. A friend of mine in New Jersey, he was at that time holding a Savior of the Conscience position, but then he fell away. And his son was in the Heretical and Schismatic Society, St. Pius X, and he was a priest. And he felt guilty because he sent his son there. Now he's trying to get him out of the place. And so he kept preaching to his son. This is when my friend was at least holding strong. He's trying to convert his family. If he would have held out a little longer, I'm convinced he would have converted at least a good portion of his family, but he broke. I'm not going to get into the reasons why. But my main point on that was every time he spoke to his son about the, he finally didn't want to listen to him. Even one of his sons says, oh, I don't want to, he couldn't bear to hear this. And he said to his son, then get out of here. This conversation is only for men. You're a coward if you don't want to hear this. He was pretty strong, this guy. And he preached that way to his Society of St. Pius X son, who was a priest. He was pretty tough on him, the right way. But he ended up falling away, which was sad. But the point was his priest's son didn't want to hear him anymore. He didn't want to be sent any information anymore about the truth, about all the heresies in the Vatican through church, and how he's a heretic for by sins of omission, and also by denying the salvation dogma, and so forth and so on. But his son told his father, oh, he says, I'm glad, he says, I'm being transferred to Africa or something, and I'm going to go over there now, and I'm just going to learn the Gregorian chant. I'm immersing my mind into the Gregorian chant, and that's all I'm going to think of. So he took his life, and he became an ardent study of Gregorian chant and all that, but here he is doing that as an excuse to evade having to face the full deposit of the Catholic faith and live by it, and knowing the fact that now he's in a society and a group that he knows in his heart is heretical, but he doesn't want to face it. So he immersed himself into the Gregorian chant, which if you were to look at him and say, boy, that's pretty holy. Well, this guy knows all the notes. You know, I don't know how to sing the Gregorian chant. You know, and he's over there singing the Gregorian chant. He seems holy to people. So you see how a holy thing could even be used for an evil purpose if the motive is not right? Our Lord says in one of the scriptures in Ecclesiasticus that if the evil man does good, he does it ignorantly and unwillingly. His motive is wrong. So you can even do good things and have a wrong motive, and it's evil. So this man's motive was evil. So that's when they're talking, refrain from eating good things. We eat desserts, we eat chocolate and all that here, but during the fasting periods, we don't. So give up good things that are not bad for you, you know, and that's what they're saying. Mortify your, not only your physical, but mortify your soul from even things that are good and of themselves. It goes unsaid that things that are forbidden, we're never allowed to entertain. You see, but what they're saying here is because you use your eyes to look at pornography or wicked pictures or immoral pictures or heretical pictures, and you use your eyes to look at evil things. Now, give your eyes a bit of mortification and don't let them look on things that even would be normally pleasing to you for a while, to mortify them. And then after the Advent period of time, go back and you can start looking at all these good things. Now, that doesn't mean don't learn the faith. You're supposed to do that always. That's always. You always use your eyes to read the scriptures and learn the faith. Now, we'll get on to what he's saying with here. He says, let the hand also fast from useless works and from every action that is not commanded. But above all, let the soul fast from the doing of its own will. Without these fasts, all others will not be accepted by the Lord. Fast from what is in itself lawful, that you may receive pardon for what you have formerly done amiss. That's what one that says, if you give yourself all the things that are legal, sooner or later you're going to fall on the things that are illegal. You have to give yourself some voluntary restraint on things that are even good. And then when it comes time, like this week we did feast and fast, fine, then you can enjoy that and God will give you all the graces to have a wonderful feast. But when it's time to do mortify yourself, do the mortification. I tell the children here even now, you've been praying your recreations even. You've had more time to recreate here in the war games, which I like myself, I tell you all the time. But I will tell you, limit it. Your parents will tell you how much they allow you in the war games. I give myself an hour and 15 minutes a day. Maybe you children can have more. On the weekends, maybe 2 hours at the most at one time. But that's me. But what I'm saying is, even though you those games and they're good for you, Scripture says, I forget the verse, but it says, you can do whatever you want in recreation as long as it's not sinful and full of pride. But limited. So when your father tells you you've had enough, get off that recreation, whatever you're doing, and go out and do your other things. And always do your daily duties above all things. Read your scriptures, the faith above all things, and then your recreation is a duty too. So recreation is an absolute duty. If you don't recreate, you're a Pharisee. If you don't recreate, it's very bad. If you're a Puritan, you're going to fall out on the right hand side of church. So we must recreate. You know that. But I'm just warning you to make sure you put limits on it. When your father comes up and says, okay, how long have you done it? Stop. That's enough of that for now. And you obey promptly. Okay? And myself, I give myself the hour 15 minutes, and then boom. That's it. Sometimes if I'm going a little over, my guardian angel reminds me, and I look. And I go, oh, hour 15 minutes, you know, and then I stop. Save it again, whatever your recreation is, okay? Now, you can have several forms of recreation as children, because you can go out and play baseball, and like, the kids today, they don't even get outside and play outside anymore, which is healthy for you, you know, playing baseball or running around or something outside. That's all good stuff, you know. You know, you don't want to be just stuck behind a computer neither. Now, that's a good form of recreation for the mind in its own realm, but make sure that you have the other forms of recreation mixed in there too. So, and join Advent, you may want to give yourself up even the war game that you like. Lent, we really do that. If you want to do that, you say for Advent, I'm giving up the war games. Or do another type of game that's a lesser type game. Still have recreation during Advent if you want, but not the same type. Do something a little lesser or something. You can give that up even, you see. So they always tell you, if you don't voluntarily give up things that are good, you're eventually going to start doing things that are wrong. So I'm preparing us all here to make a good Advent so we can all become saints. And we're thanking God during this feast. This is a feast week. God approves of what we do this week. But he will not approve of us if we do not fast. And we do not go on to our penitential, more extreme penitential schedule coming up during Advent. And also, even during the regular times of the years when we're supposed to fast 3 days a week, you know. And those 3 days a week, you can make other rules for yourself. Give up other things. Okay, so it says, redeem an eternal fast by a short and transitory one. For we have deserved hellfire, where there will be no food, no consolation, no end. Where the rich man begs for a drop of water and is not worthy to receive it. Here's the rich man that didn't deprive himself of anything, and he fell. He fell into sins of lack of charity towards his brother, poor people. Even. He won't even help the poor people anymore. And that's what happened to the rich man, and because of his luxury. And he fell into greediness and materialism. And then even if he had the faith, he was immoral. He was committing mortal sins against charity. And he became luxurious and all that because he didn't deny himself anything. And then you fall into more and more sins after that, vanity and pride. You become power hungry. And then you're not looking to help even the poor people. How could this guy that had all the money in the world, he had everything he needed, he's eating at a sumptuous table, and he walks by this poor guy, doesn't have a piece of bread, you don't even give him a piece of bread? What kind of a guy is that, my friends? What kind of a guy is that? He's a wretch. He's a wretch. It wasn't even going to cost him anything. You have other poor people giving poor people stuff and sacrificing themselves, going hungry to help their own brothers. Like if you only have a half a loaf of bread and you're poor yourself and there's another poor brother out there, you split your loaf of bread and you're not both as hungry as one another. Here's this rich man, what he would have been given away was his excess. And did our Lord speak about that, about the woman who gave away the one mite? He said, what is that? That's only one penny. He goes, but that's all she had. She gave away her whole substance. Well, it's easy for these rich people to give away 10,000, a million, these millionaires, oh, they look like they're real charitable. Look at the way they're living. Now, God's not against rich people, though. But rich people have to spend their money for the glory of God. This guy wasn't even giving a piece of bread to the poor man. What kind of guy is that? Now, here's the other thing about alms and giving to the poor and all that. That's spiritual. That's a corporal work of mercy, which is necessary. So anyway, his problem, too, was luxury. He fell into it, you know. And these people become so luxurious that they don't even give him. Because if you do your Lent right and your other time right, you're not going to fall into that. Because that's what Lent and Advent's all about. You're catching yourself from being, even when you're giving yourself lawful things, by depriving them yourself from them during these periods of time, you have the right use of them after that. It doesn't overwhelm you and overtake you. Because if you get to the point where you get so used to sleeping in all these comfortable beds with a warm house, holding, everything's all real nice, and you're pretty soon you're not going to want to even do any type of penance whatsoever. So when even persecution came and they threatened to throw you out in the ice, like the 40 soldiers that went out on the ice, you'll be like the one that fell away and wanted to go into a hot tub, and then he died immediately and went to hell. You go, I don't want to lose my comfortable home. I don't want to lose my warm house. I don't want to lose my nice car. I don't want to lose my good food. Therefore, you will deny the faith. The devil knows your mind. You're already denying the faith, whether you know it or not. You're paving a road for it. So that when it comes out in the open and you're put to the test, you will deny Christ. And you'll say, you know how many people, when the Antichrist comes to power, are going to go, where do I sign when they have to take the mark of the beast? They're not even going to blink. An example of senior citizens. You're so concerned about, and I'm not against them being concerned about this. You have to be concerned about the medical care and the drugs and the medical system. That's legit and just, but you can overdo it. You can get to the point so much where you think that's everything in your life, and that you'll vote for anybody, no matter how evil he is, as long as he takes care of your medical needs, or as long as he gives you food to fill your belly. Well, the Antichrist is going to give you all those things. Don't you understand, folks? He's already given you those things. The United States represents the Antichrist. They're bringing the Antichrist to power through apostate Israel. The apostate Jews are running the whole show. He's already given you everything you want, you know, through this area. And you're already selling your soul, believe it or not, because when you get these your things from those people, you don't have the courage to go out against them. But what are you going to do when the Antichrist comes to power and he says, I'm going to cut your medical benefits, I'm going to cut your pension plans, I'm going to cut your food? It says in scriptures, you're not even going to be able to buy and sell. What are you going to do, people out there, when that time comes? What are you going to do? If you're in love with the world, you became too luxurious, and you're not taking, as a good Catholic, you're not fasting and doing your times when you're supposed to, you're going to fall. You're going to say, where do I sign? Mm-hmm. I'll sign me right up. I don't care about the faith. It means nothing to me. Nothing. They're more concerned. They say, look, I can, let's say, just take an example. You have a politician that's more favoring a good medical program for senior citizens, but he's for abortion. And then you have another politician who's not as good on the medical program for the senior citizens. He's cutting back some of their things and all that, but he's against abortion. And they'll say, the Catholics can go for the other guy who's supporting abortion, who are murdering kids and sending their souls to hell. You've committed a sin as a Catholic. If you're a Catholic, anybody commits a sin when they do that, but Catholics especially. What was your choice? I'm more concerned about my medical health than the politician who's really going against abortion, which gives that children a chance to live and save their souls. Every time a child's aborted, that has a soul inside of that body, that child, that soul's going to hell for all eternity. It's my point, folks, is if you had a choice as a senior citizen or us people here than us, okay, all you Catholics have a choice. This politician's going to give you all the medical benefits you want to make you comfortable, but he supports abortion. Or here's politician B who tells you, I can't give you any medical help. It's impossible. I don't have, for whatever reason, he's not going to give you sufficient medical help at all. So that means a lot of us might die because we can't get help. Physically die because we can't get help, but he's against abortion. You got to go for that guy. How many people will make that choice? How many of you people will make that choice? You senior citizens. How many people will make that choice? Oh no, you even got to be. It's amazing, you know. But I'm just trying to give you an example of how the Antichrist lures people by giving them physical things, and you're so concerned about pampering your own flesh, you're already in damnation. That's why we can't get people to listen to the Catholic faith today, because they know if they go against the Jews, who control this country, and the Masons and the Protestants that control this country, they're going to lose their goodies. They're going to lose their jobs. They're going to lose everything they work for. They're going to lose the American dream. I'm telling you, folks, you've already took the mark of the beast. You're already serving the Antichrist. Everyone out there. Only us few people, Mary's little remnant, are not. And there's a few people out there that see these things going on, that I see of goodwill. I do see them. They're fighting against these things. And they're not as stupid as some of you other people out there. There's a small percentage of people that are aware of the conspiracy. Are aware of the fact how the Jews bribe people with money. There are I'm really directing our attentions and prayers to convert those people. But even you other people out there, God wants to convert you too. And I'm trying to tell you that if your luxuries come first, you're in damnation. If your family comes first, you're in damnation. If anything comes before God, you're in damnation. And I will tell you, when you do your acts of mortification and penance, you're preparing yourself and you're breaking. God will give you the grace then to detach yourself from the world. So when the time comes that, when Antichrist comes to full power and he's going to really lay the gauntlet down and say, deny the Catholic Christ, deny this, or I'm going to throw you out in a cold lake, or I'm going to throw you in a vat of boiling oil. I'm going to fry you on a frying pan, like all the martyrs had to undergo. Are we going to be ready for that? We will not be ready for it if we don't live the full deposit of the Catholic faith. If you're a bad Catholic, you ain't going to make it. If you're outside the church, you're going to go to hell too. Get inside the church before it's too late. And the only people that are going to be able to be saved, as we always say, is good Catholics anyway. But I'm addressing this to Catholics. Now, well, our duty is to say, because the first step is to come into the church, without which you cannot be saved, then to be a good Catholic. We've had brothers in here that speak a good Catholic game out of their mouth. They speak the faith, but they act like Protestants in their heart. Just look at the way they act. They don't really act like Catholics, but they speak like Catholics. And when you see it, it's like a total hypocrisy. You go, this guy sounded totally Catholic, but when it came time to him obeying or her obeying the commandments of God, and we told them what God teaches, they get crazy and they rebel. Because they really are Protestants at heart, or Americanists at heart. They don't have a Catholic heart. They'll come and even tell us, we're stupid, Richard, we need to learn. We never were Catholic. We want to learn. So here we are trying to teach them, and they're violating one of God's commandments. And they don't like it because we rebuke them. And even we do it so with charity and everything. They don't like it. They get angry at us. What kind of a person is this? This is a person who's not truly Catholic in our heart. And they went out from amongst us. And that's the scripture, 2 John 2:19. They went out from amongst us because they were not of us. How, you know, because if they were all of us, they would have remained with us. Now, that doesn't mean they can't come back. We pray for them that they would come back. I'm glad that they were even here. These people that came in here, they're gone now. I'm glad they at least got to meet us, because it could still be their salvation and conversion down the road. But I'm talking to these people right now. Oh, you talk a good game. But when it comes down to telling them you got to do A, B, C, and D because they got Americanism in their heart, no one's going to tell me what to do. Who's I, Brandy? It's not eye branding. It's the Catholic Church. If what I'm showing you through scriptures and through what Holy Mother Church teaches us, that's who you're disobeying. You're disobeying Holy Mother Church. All Catholics, it's our duty to admonish any one of our brothers when they're falling into serious troubles, even if they have not yet approached mortal sins, and obviously when they're committing mortal sins, to then really step it into high gear or we're guilty of their sins. Okay, so all these people, there are a lot of people out there talk a good game, but they don't want to live the Catholic life. A truly good and salutary fast, the observance of which frees us from eternal punishment by obtaining for us in this life the remission of our sins. Nor is it only the remission of former transgressions, but likewise the preservative against future sin, by meriting for us grace to enable us to avoid those faults we might otherwise have committed. I will add another advantage which results from fasting, one which I hope I am not deceived in saying you have frequently experienced. It gives devotion and confidence into prayer. Observe how closely prayer and fasting are connected. When you're fasting, you pray, your prayers are more fervent, you pray more and you study more. And when you're feasting too, you're not meant to have that deep level, that's fine. Sometimes you can feel guilty, you say, I'm not as fervent as I was during then. Fine, well, you're feasting, you're not supposed to, at that moment when you're feasting, as fervent as you are when you're fasting. But when you're fasting, that's your moment to get extra close to God. Those are your moments. And you notice God doesn't even always keep you extra close to Him all the time. Sometimes He always lets you descend to earth to let you know you're not in paradise yet, that you're still on earth, that you still have a combat to do, you know. Sometimes if God lifts you up so high to heaven, I would be fearful that I'd never want to come back down to earth again. I won't want to walk out my door. If God ever really gave you the total vision of His short of the beatific vision, but you're up in heaven, you're seeing all His beauties, boy, you don't even want to go out in the world anymore. Everything's going to be so ugly to you, you're going to almost despair of wanting to live even. Your soul's going to want to leave its body. So sometimes you say, no, Lord, if you give me that, then it's going to be hard for me. Then I've got to go out and look at the ugliness of the world. I have to look into the beauty of God. That's why I say you can't look upon the pure face of God and live. You can't. So it says, I will add another advantage which results from fasting, it gives devotion or confidence in prayer. Observe how closely prayer and fasting are connected. Prayer gives us power to fast. Fasting enables us to pray. Fasting gives strength to our prayer. Prayer sanctifies our fast and renders it worthy of acceptable before the Lord. St. Bernard's sermon. So, this is just what we're talking about here. Again, the idea of fasting, which is part of, and this refutes the Protestants, so don't believe you have to do anything, right? Just believe in Jesus. What an easy, mushy religion that is. Even a pagan spits on the Protestant. The pagan out in African Island, who, even though he's a thorough pagan, but he's got a hierarchy of order where they go out there and they have some type of order and things need to be done. What kind of a theology is this that I can believe in Jesus and do whatever I want and get to heaven? Whatever I want. I was thinking the other day, we'll end the sermon right here on this one point, how you really want to go up to the Protestant and refute him right off the bat on that. Just say to the Protestants, I'm speaking to you Protestants now, listen to what I'm telling you. Do you need to obey God's commandments to be saved? Or could I disobey His commandments? As long as I believe in Jesus, okay, but can I disobey all of His other commandments and be saved? Just disregard them. Throw out His Ten Commandments, say, I disobey them all. I'll fornicate, I'll rob, I'll lie, I'll cheat, I'll steal. You know, can you do all those things and be saved? They would say yes. But what does Jesus say in Matthew 19:17? If thou wilt enter in life, into eternal life, keep the commandments. Open that book up, Protestants, and read it. That's just one of many. It's stupid for you to think that you can smite God, go on committing sins, and that God's going to let you in heaven. How many verses does St. Paul talk about no fornicator, no idolater? No murderer, no whoremonger, no sorcerer, no idolater, no liar shall have a portion in heaven, but there shall be a portion in the brimstone in hell fire, burning forever. Apocalypse 28, 1 Corinthians 6:9 in that area, Ephesians 5:5. I got all these verses where St. Paul's telling you that indeed you got to obey God's commandments. And for us Catholics, that means all His commandments. And so I just gave you the commandment of mortification here today, of fasting. The commandment of what we do when we have the penitential seasons. So we thank God for all the gifts He's given us. We thank God in the past year. We feasted this week, and we thank God for giving us this feasting week. And when you're supposed to feast, you better feast and not fast, or you're sinning. And when you're supposed to fast and you're feasting, you're sinning. So the Catholic life, as I tell you people out there, is a beautiful, wonderful balance where your whole life is full of joy and happiness. You know, and if you listen to all my sermons, that'll always come home to you. So we again tell you also, this is
the month for the poor souls in purgatory.
If Catholics don't pray for the poor souls in purgatory, you're damned. you ain't going to get to purgatory, pal. Some people say, well, a Catholic doesn't pray for the poor souls in purgatory. If he ends up in purgatory, no prayers will be a benefit to expiate his sins. I don't even believe that. I know, and a lot of saints rightly say, if you don't pray for your suffering brothers in purgatory, you will be damned on that alone. Let's say you're doing everything else, but you're not praying for your suffering brothers. I mean, they said, if you saw a man burning in the road on fire, anybody, you don't even know who the guy is. He's fired. He's screaming in great pain. Oh, get some water and help this man. Pour it on him. Let's help the guy. Right? Now, of course, if the guy deserves it, it's in a war, it's a hurt, that's another issue. But I'm talking just on outside of the fact that any one of your brothers or anybody's like that, you're going to want to help him. Pour water on him and help him. Or, I mean, the most suffering that anybody can have on earth from a poor person who's starving, is maybe out in the cold and doesn't have everything they need, we have to help them even. How much more our brothers in purgatory there are suffering immensely greater than that? And where's your charity and love for those brothers? Where is your charity and love for our suffering brothers in purgatory? Or if any one of us right now got really hurt, we're the first ones to run out there. One of the kids gets a splinter, cuts their lip or something, stitches, you want to stitch and help support the child. And that's, but where's, what do you care if you don't pray for the poor souls in purgatory? So, ending up this month in which we also pray our special prayers for the poor souls, we pray the 30-day prayers for them, and every day we have so many prayers for the poor souls into our special devotions at the end of the divine office. We do what I have given you here. You're praying sufficiently for the poor souls. I made sure of that. And if you don't do that, you're damned. Because that shows no love for the brothers. Especially them in purgatory. So may the Blessed Mother intercede for our suffering brothers in purgatory before the throne of her Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that he may take these prayers before the Father in unity with the Holy Ghost, and grant our suffering brothers great expiation and repose, and also may our suffering brothers in purgatory intercede for us with their prayers so that we make a really good Advent so that we can also have a very good feast day during Christmas. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.